Welcome all, welcome to Wobbly Player Syndrome, episode 9, a 40k podcast where we look faces, be afraid, get to talk, ramble about things that we pretend we know. We have the little square, that's me, hi, Greg. We have Michael with the short hair. I meant to say the beard, I don't know how I got that, I meant with the beard. We have one of the marks next to him. Look like they're sitting on each other's laps. It's very cozy. How are you, Mark?
Possibly go wrong.
Oh, hello there.
And the man with no face is the other Mark. You might be able to see a little symbol there. That is his actual photo.
I am voice only. You shall enjoy my dulcet tones.
Yes, that's fortunate.
Well, I've got to say, Greg, for me, you're coming up as just as a symbol, so
You go live and you will see me going,
bleh. This is...
Yeah, so I had to do a workaround. My camera wasn't working properly, so I've done a workaround. If you go live, I'm a little box. I could go, It's very interesting.
Got to this box.
I mean, the
No camera mark.
No camera mark. All right, how has everyone been? Look at this. Pictures of people. I just realised every time I look down to check people can see me doing it now. I'm looking at my phone, not my... Yep. What goes
look
on?
Look at the right screen.
The right screen, yep. I'm just checking. I'm just jumping on to make sure everything is running fine on the live, actually. It just doesn't want to show me live.
Interwebs.
Yeah, what the is the internet?
You mean you're not going to just assume we're live?
Yeah, I can see us. I can see. Look, we want to get really weird. I'm trying. Oh, you won't see because you can't see the camera that way.
And but, we have to apologize for those who can't see us, really.
Nah, it's all good. They love us. Look, here's the ad. So we're working. I just want to check the voice quality. We were mucking around the other night doing some painting. And we're getting a bit of reverberation of the voice. So just making sure it's still working properly. Because even if you don't change settings, the settings will change, apparently. So how is everyone while I watch myself on the screen?
Oh, yeah. Not too bad, eh? Just, you know, customer service stuff. Ugh.
Customer service. We love customers.
Yeah,
I'd rather have customers that's over writing report cards for 11-year-olds.
They pay the bills, so we have to like them.
11-year-olds pay the bills? Damn, you're going to work later.
Not in this country.
Come on, it's going to go and tell me that we're not talking funny. So, what's going on?
They pay the bills, so we have to like them.
Yeah, it's working. All right, we are live and we are happy and we are professional.
We can hear each other.
Wobbly Player Syndrome, episode 9.
Very wobbly.
Professional streamers, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, if you want to help us out and get us more professional, we do say please donate some money so we can get some real equipment. I have put a Christmas list together, and yes, there is a webcam, a microphone, mic stand. They're all there now. So, trying to get legit to quit.
Oh, God.
Yep, you're welcome. So, somebody did post up our order of things, but I've moved it conveniently out of the way so I can't see it.
So, our next one is new releases.
New releases, so, Michael, the man.
Have you quickly Googled anything?
The main one that I've been paying attention to is Blackstone Fortress. I know it's only just gone on to like pre-order, so it's still a little way away, but I'm like a massive Warhammer Quest fan, so I'm ultra excited about it. The models look really cool.
They do, don't they?
The rule previews are making me tingle in my special parts. Like, I really want to get it and see what it does.
So idiot question time. Is it based in the Rogue? Was it Rogue Traders set of 40K or is it somewhere else?
It's some of the leaked stuff is actually kind of really old school fluff. Like there's a robot in there and it's an Imperial robot, like second edition Imperial robot. Slash Rogue Trader. Yeah, and like the fluff for it is that it's a Man of Iron from like old fluff. So it's actually kind of cool.
It looks pretty schmick.
It does look really sick. I like it.
Yeah, it looks. I like, especially the guy with the the leveler for a head. Be very useful. Is that guy with the big navigator?
Oh, the navigator.
The navigator. Yeah. That's how he keeps his flight. So, the bubble. Keep it in the middle. There it is.
Spirit level.
That's one spirit level.
He's brain device.
He added a bunch of extra shit to distract from having the third eye. Clearly.
Yeah, right. Balances it out. It's gone for that hammerhead style. It works for the sharks.
Eyes up here, mate.
That's terrible. Oh, cool. Well, yeah, look, I am excited for that one too. When I first saw the price, I didn't realize I was looking at the bundled price, and I'm going, $350? What are you insane?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now going, Jesus.
Yeah, no, $220, which is standard for a box set. So. Yeah,
which is still Jesus.
Yeah, there's a lot of minis, though. It is a lot of minis.
Yeah, I'll give that.
Well, Michael's going to get it, so we'll be playing around his place.
Oh yeah, I'm going to get it. Like, really? I own all of the versions of Warhammer Quest. I even own the Fantasy Flight Games card game version of Warhammer Quest. I am a horrifying Warhammer Quest nerd.
What is Warhammer Quest?
It's like an old board game they made that was kind of like a dungeon diving with additional role playing. Version rules or thing of Warhammer, so it was all about getting a bunch of Warhammer heroes and going through dungeons looking for shite. Think like HeroQuest, but more involved.
Yeah,
I was amazed at like HeroQuest. So there you go. Yeah.
And it's continuous too, so
cool.
Yeah, Star Wars
like your characters gained levels and you ground. It was super deadly too. Like level one characters had about a 50-50 of surviving the first dungeon.
Sorry. Cool. Just as long as you survive more than the guy in front of you. Just yeah, no, looking forward to it. And, you know, when we will be playing, we'll be streaming, right? We're going to make ourselves completely RLG, you know, and just influence everyone. Because we're influencers.
Totally.
Are we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
just ask our wives.
That's what the guy who pulled me over in the street said. He was like, are you under the influence, sir?
Yeah, sir.
Not the influence.
I just note our local Warhammer down the road, they will be looking for people to paint their minis for their game as well. So they've already hit me up.
Yeah, but I paint like shit.
Well, I didn't say they want crap people. I'm just saying they want people. Yeah. No. I was a bit surprised. I said, yeah, we want you to paint one. Okay. When have you seen any of my stuff? So I was a bit confused.
Might be their Instagram stalking you or something.
Well, they should too.
Don't forget Speed Freaks.
Yeah, Orcs. Come on, the biggest release.
I don't even like Orcs, and I want to buy Speed Freaks. That thing looks really cool. I love the look of the new models. Got no idea what the rules are like, and honestly, I'm less concerned about that.
I'm just struggling with the bit that you don't care about Orcs. I'm struggling with that. They're Orcs.
Oh, no,
come on.
Orcs are sick, and I love Gorkamorka. It's a great game. And if this is anything like Gorkamorka, I will love it to death. But I haven't picked up a copy of it just because I just haven't had time to paint it or build it lately. So I, you know, made a uncharacteristically adult decision and didn't buy it yet.
Who are you? Where's Michael?
Yeah, that's my shtick, all right?
It is right. I'm looking
so what's
at
the deal behind the game?
Speed Freaks, it's a separate game, but it's got templates for your turning and your engines, and it's a lot. They've added back the randomness of Orcs, and that's the big fun part about it. So you got secret dice. You've got to use dice for fuel for moving forward, and whether you're going to kill people or not. It does look good, but I reckon most people have bought it. Has not bought it for Speed Freaks. They've bought it for the new minis.
They're going to carry it over, yeah.
Yeah, because the rules are in there already. But, of course, the Orc Codex came out, which I've been hanging out for. And in the end, I'm not touching. I can't. I've just got to wait. I've just got so much to paint. I can't touch more. Orcs are my first love.
I was just like, I can't buy it. I mean, like... I've got this whole frickin' box of, like, bloody knight to build.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
You got the toes gun.
I built toes.
How many knights do you really need? I mean, you've already got, what, 23 or something?
Every episode is added a new one.
26 or 27. I've honestly lost count.
Episode 26.
Once I build this one, I'll have at least one of every single type of knight in almost every weapon combination.
I predict when we do episode 26, he will have 56 knights.
No, we'll get to 26 and he can do an episode on each one of his knights.
That's so, it. This one.
Yeah, this one's got a gun different.
Today, we're going to discuss the Castigator.
Oh no! So that's big on the new release, the Orcs. I mean, there's a lot of Orc players out there been hanging out for it, and it's been good. I listen to podcasts, and the Orcs have been doing okay from the index in tournaments. It's been worrying people, so now they're actually going to, I think, have a bit of influence on the gameplay, which would be great. Like the rocket, I think it's the rocket one. When you advance with it, you roll a d6 like you do, but if you roll a 4+, it teleports.
That's and you the place shock attack
it,
gun.
Yeah, and it, put it anywhere.
It shoots itself out of its own shock attack gun. That's hilarious.
Put
I
it
love
anywhere,
it.
Like a deep strike, essentially. This is orcs. That's what orcs should be. <That's> the randomness. So it's exciting news, and now I've got to behave. We've got a slow grow. We're going to start next year, so maybe then. Maybe then.
Which and this sort of ties us into the old hobby progress.
Yeah, Mark, what have you been doing? Yeah, and you can choose who I meant.
I have done nothing. I'm terrible yet again.
Come on, it's only a month since he's finished his last one that took 12 months.
Actually, more like 18, but anyway. I think I'm going to have to start doing like what you do and go, right, I'm going to paint for an hour.
It works.
Or like a week or something.
It works, man.
I just got to find the hour to do it.
Oh, well, that's why sometimes I'll be doing it at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Just don't do it after the pub trip.
No.
Yeah, chances are it will be after the pub trip.
Then Orcs is fine.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Orcs is a good idea because I could just spray paint them all green and be done with it.
Yeah, they're easy painting.
So how about the rest of you?
Well, I know Michael's been building knights, but anything special with those knights, Michael?
Well, it's a really bloody big one. It's the Acastus Porphyrion. It's huge. It's all resin. It's just annoying because you've got to kind of build it bit by bit because you've got to, like, all right, now I've got to build that bit, and then I've got to put that aside and let it cure. That's why I haven't gotten around to doing the next bit because it's going to be building the hips and then doing all the jiggery-pokery, getting the hips to line up properly.
Yeah, we were streaming earlier, and he's putting them together. He's going, the toe goes to the foot bone goes to the ankle bone. It was great. It's very educational.
The foot bone goes to the heretic bone.
If you don't shut up, I'll put this foot bone where it don't shine. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, not a lot other than the knight. I've got a pile of Necromunda stuff that I got from Forge World at the same time as the knight that I haven't even started building yet because I need more Vansar, apparently, you know.
Yeah. Oh, those, that was it. The new release, bear back. The new Necron, the last of the classes. They look cool. The new ones. Remember those? They do stuff.
They're in new Necrons?
Not Necrons, Necromunda. Come on, keep up.
Oh yeah, new Necromunda. You had me confused there, eh?
Well, yeah.
The deluxe.
Deluxe.
The deluxe
yeah.
have come out. Well, they've been leaked or / previewed.
Well, they look awesome. They look very sweet.
They look really cool.
Yeah.
They're quite a departure from the old look.
Yes.
And I'm still not 100% sold on like the really kind of slim hips, bottom looks like a dress kind
you
of thing.
You prefer your deluxe with a bit of in the back.
Yeah. I don't know. They've kind of gone more
trunk
to this
in their
weird.
Junk. What's it? Junk in their trunk.
Just their lower half is really small. The more I look at them, the more they grow on me though. Like I really like what they've done with like the kind of steampunky bullshit vibe they've got around their shoulders. Just the bottom half weirds me out. I feel like they should have the separate legs hanging out of the trench coat like they did before. It gave them a bit more of a gangster vibe. Now they've got a bit more of a, like, you know, sneaky gits in robes kind of
vibe.
I thought of
Dark City.
Yeah.
And at the end of the games, it'd be great. Move on. Yeah. The other Mark, what have you been doing?
I was stupidly went and purchased a bunch of, what are they, Sicarian Infiltrators / Rustalkers for my ever so slowly building AdMech. And, they're pretty funky. I'm enjoying building those. I like the fact that it's like Robotech meet ninjas, and they're kind of cool.
Nice. So
going
kill
with
team,
my... for my kill team, but I've been thinking about if I wanted to build another team, I would go the slow grow and build the ad mech on top of them. Yeah. The only thing for me is going from Krons to Infiltrators. To ad mech. Krons is like, here's your weapon. You use that. Now, ad mech, you can use this one or this one or this one. It's blowing my mind. So.
They're not quite as bad as Tau, but yeah, they're pretty painful. What's that guy got? What does that do? Oh, crap. Well, I need to know. It hits me and hits me hard.
You guys know the weapons better than I do, and they're my forces.
No, I'm still... Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of the ad mech too much, and I still don't know. Couldn't tell you what weapon is what. All I know is that it does what damage? Okay, I'll just take it off the table.
Especially that big long one who does the big shot from far, far away.
All I know with ad mech is shoot the robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot the ugly one. Which one's the ugly one?
Yeah, it's like all of them, though.
Yeah, so that's my only growth. I've still got a stack of Necron shit that I need to finish off, but there's only so much dull metal grey you can do before you start to go mad.
Well, speaking of going mad, I have been doing my challenge of the 1 hour painting per day as a minimum. I've stuck to it. I've actually done every day so far, so I've got to do it after this cast as well. And so far I've done a good big dent on my Blight Lord Terminators, and I'm going up to Sydney this weekend, so I have to deliver the job that I got about 6 months ago. So I've been working on Stormtroopers. So white. I love painting white. It's really good. look, the hint to painting white.
The best
white
is not white.
Yeah, use grey or a blue if you're going to paint white. And they're actually pretty easy to paint. Pretty easy to knock over. Just got to do the bases and they'll be done tonight. I've got a really good quick technique for white. It stands out quite nice after doing that. Now looking at white scars, I do think I will never touch a white army again.
Man,
yeah.
Painting apothecaries drives me nuts enough. I don't want to paint a whole white army.
I never had any problem painting white.
Because it takes you 12 months for a miniature.
I mean, back when I was doing my Stern Guard, and I was like, and I had time for painting and whatnot, I smashed out 5 of those guys, and they have the big white robe all over.
Yeah.
And I found really with white was just to try and get as even a coat as you can, and then hit it with a wash, because as soon as you hit it with a wash, it just sort of loses that flatness that white tends to have.
Yeah.
And because the best white is not white.
Yeah.
It's
correct.
Yeah, it's grey or whatever. So I tend to hit stuff with that white, and then I wash it in like a blue or like Nuln oil or something like that.
Yeah, so, I went with the matte white base. Then it's a Ulthwane grey, Nuln oil wash, and then hit it with a flat white, but a dry brushed. Didn't edge. I just dry brushed those buggers.
Yep.
And then and Stormtroopers are really boring because they have two colors they use, black and white.
Ooh.
That's it. So when the guns, all right, the guns are black. Ah, so are their gloves. Well, that kind of blends in together, doesn't it? So a bit of dark gray just to highlight them. So they're not, yeah. But now I wonder if I put a varnish on them just to bring the armor, just to make it shiny, because they would look shiny in the movies, didn't they?
Yeah, they were. They couldn't hit anything. So
yeah, they were. They were definitely shiny. You probably want to do like a gloss.
So I'll probably do that. Yeah, put a gloss on them and varnish and make them pretty.
Because everything Empire is shiny.
Oh, one thing we did forget to mention on the new release is those heroes, Space Marine heroes, came out.
So what's the deal with them?
Oh yeah, they did come out here, didn't they?
Okay, so I've just...
Didn't you buy some?
I did. So
me? No.
No one can see me except for people.
I got the whole set in Japan.
Yeah, so that's them there. That's the Space Marine heroes. So series one. There are 8 Marines and one special Marine that you can get, but it's blind box. You know, like the Kinder Surprise and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of style without the chocolate. So I went down and had my two sons with me, and I said, grab one. They were $9 each for a mini. They're happy because it's a bit of a lucky dip for them. The quality of the miniatures are pretty damn good. Those bases look awesome. It's worth just getting them just cut off the feet, put and use the bases. No, I don't mind. And I figured, yeah, I think you bought the pack, the whole box, Michael. I'm pointing like you can see me.
I can see you.
I'm pointing the wrong way. That one over there.
One of my mates picked up an entire box of it because I don't know. Apparently they're doing it differently in Australia, but in Japan you could buy an entire box full of the blind box boxes, and it had two of every single model in it.
Yeah.
So we basically got that.
Good, apparently.
Opened it. Yeah, he opened it. He kept half, and I got half.
So $9 each, and it's 12 in a pack. So you know, 100. What's that? 108 to get 12 minis. Yeah, well, the kids are happy, and it gives us something to paint for Golden Brush without me. Yeah, I want something to paint. Sure, I'm not going to want to really buy a $55 box for them to paint one mini. This is a great alternative. And the minis are actually pretty good. Oh, I've got one behind me, in fact. Not that you can see me, but everyone else can. There you go. Everyone else can see that. Yeah, look at it.
So, what's the deal with them? Are they just things that extra Smurfs you can add into the game, or?
Well, they don't have to be Smurfs. They don't actually have the Ultramarine embossed on them, so they can be any chapter. They're just different poses, a bit more dynamic poses and stuff like that. It does.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sort of TLDR'd it as more different Marines.
Yeah, but they're pretty cool Marines. Of course, I got the most boring one. I went, oh, they'd be right. It's closest to looks like every other Marine there is.
They're Ultramarines, aren't they all tied for the most boring Marine?
They are blue plastic, but they don't have to be Ultramarines. Yes.
They know they all want to be.
So, games. Has anyone been playing any games? Oh, I have. Really? That's great.
I played two games against you, and they were embarrassingly bad.
Oh, they were interesting games.
That was the dice deal.
Yeah. Would you like to tell the story so you can remember your pain?
No, I thought you might like to gloat because it's only the second and third time I've been beaten the entire time.
Oh, it's a shame.
Dice. What can you say?
Yeah,
dice.
The first game. Yeah, that killed. First game. I couldn't roll anything lower than 4, and Mark couldn't roll anything higher than 3. It was very short. It was very painful.
This does put to rest the questions about Mark's dice.
About my dice.
Yes, it did. Yeah. So it sounds like a bit of a setup, is what you're saying?
Well,
that was what I was saying. Why isn't Dave here to see this?
Yeah.
It was not good. Not fun.
Because I know for a long time there it was at sixes, and sixes and sixes for the day is.
My job that night.
No, it sucks.
Changed.
It was in the second game.
Talked it after the game.
Look, sorry, I got a poor connection coming up. That's because I'm using stuff.
Yeah. Well, for that first game, at the end of it, when we talked about it, there was nothing I was doing wrong that was actually strategically wrong.
No.
The dice was just against me. Yeah, plain and simple.
You just had cross-eyed troops.
Yeah, it was not a tactical loss. It was just you bastards, lady luck.
Yeah.
What's the Star Trek quote? Sometimes you do nothing wrong and you still lose. That's called life.
That's called marriage.
He's brave.
Doors open. Oh, crap.
Oops.
Yeah, so we did. Yeah, had a couple of games of Kill Team. I've had another game of Kill Team since then against Orcs, in fact. And I got stomped. New mate, a new one to our group, Adam. He is a father of my son's best mate. So he's just coming back into the hobby. And he's gone Orc mad. He has gone Orc mad. Oh, my God. His slow grow is 750 points already. And he's just put an order in to make it 2,000 points of Orcs, including the Gorka, the Morka. Stomper, not the Stomper, the Gorka and a Morka. One of the two.
Gorkanaut,
thank you. So it's going to be fun. I played against him, and as much I still don't. I'm not going to mark it down as a loss because the Orcs won. Yeah.
Anytime you see Orcs on the table is a good time. I think I've only played against Orcs once, and it was just a hoot.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I haven't played Orcs since, third edition probably. I don't know if I can't remember if I played it in fourth Orcs. I probably did, because I've got so many of them still. So that's it. My son and his mate played, of course, and the Battle of Desugua is on this month, so we're trying to get as many Kill Team battles in as possible, my son and his mate has joined the campaign, and we usually do the Michael, did you have any games that you played?
No, actually.
Oh, good.
Warhammer I've played is Warhammer Total War 2. I've played a bunch of that, but haven't managed to get any model games going.
Fair enough. No worries. All right, so the Battle of Desugua is our top five at the moment is Mitchell. That's my eldest son. He's in front with his Necrons.
Get Grons.
Wouldn't you believe it? Myself with my Astra Militarum. Adam with his Orcs. There's those Orcs. Paul with his traders. So he and Anthony just recently had a game, and they actually drew. So it was bloody. And fifth place is Anthony himself. So that's our top five for the Battle of Desugua. The rest of the leaderboards has not changed. So quick rundown. What's that called? Ladder Command, Robert, Anthony, Greg, Michael, Mark. That's our top five. That's Scarecrow Mark. the forces, Forge World Rizzo is still on top. Catachan, Pallid Hands, Desert Lions, Adeptus Custodes. They hurt. I did play them recently and they hurt me a lot, I got to say, against my Death Guard. It was the first time I played against them and I was not happy. And And then the player rankings, myself, Robert, Steve, Anthony, and Kato in fifth spot.
Yay. How am I still in fifth?
Because everyone else plays, it keeps losing. So your win is just holding out everyone else.
I don't understand how, having not played a game for so long, that I can still be fifth on the ladder.
Well, I play a lot of games, and I have a decent winning record. I think that's how. So play me, and it'll knock you down. How's that sound?
That's assuming I can get a game in at all.
Kill Team, it's so easy to get games in. It's 30 to 60 minutes a game. As I said, round at Mark's place the other night, and we got two games in, and it was that was it. All right, I'll go home.
And all the time was us being idiots and laughing at my bad luck and watching the movie I had going at the same time.
Yeah.
Picking on Green Lantern.
Yeah. We thought, put on a movie that won't distract us. So put on Green Lantern. That worked.
We didn't care about the plot.
No. All right. So this is where we have our break. And we'll do our advert, and then we'll get into the topic, which the topic of today is, we didn't come up with a fancy title for our episode, so while the break is on, I'm going to leave you guys to think about that, and you've got to come up with a really catchy phrase for our episode. Oh, Facebook Mark has already tried to put something in. All right. One moment, here goes our ads. Like what you're hearing? So do we.
You scream out in the night.
Who is this, you say?
You speak so silently.
Storyboard concept. Want to hear more?
Anytime that you want.
That is storyboardconcept.bandcamp.com. Need your board game fix? What about a new family game to entertain the kids? Head over to Rollers Board Games at rollersboardgames.com or look them up on Facebook. Board games, card games, party games, you name it, we've got it. And we don't, we'll do our best to get it. Rollers Board Games. And we are back. I want to say thank you to the sponsors as usual. An announcement regarding Rollers Board Games, though. With big silly grins in your faces. This weekend is International Games Day. Yay! Get excited, everyone. All day, your choice. Rollers Board Games and Gifts is their full name, are hosting a Board Games Galore at Georges River Libraries this weekend. If you turn up between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m, you get to play lots of games. It's at the Hertzville Library up in Sydney. And if you look around, look for this person here without the headphones, I will actually be there, looking like I'm trying to help people. And basically I go, I don't know, read the book, damn it.
Yeah, go talk to him.
Yeah, November 17, International Games Day, Board Games Galore at Hertzville Library, hosted by Rollers Board Games and Gifts. Check them out. I think we'll be playing lots of board games that evening as well, which will be fun. And there we go. All right. So my challenge to you guys was to come up with a catchy phrase for our title this week. Episode 9 is...
Oh, I don't know. You want a catchy one? Wrong crowd.
Yeah.
We're talking about specialist games. So I feel special? No, that's very un-PC. Is that what you're saying? My mama said I was special.
So there was a few suggestions that went in there.
Oh, yes. I didn't see them. Should I see them?
We
haven't lost
chat.
Our PG rating yet.
No. So my suggestion was board games, more like horde games. And then other Mark came in, what's in the box today? Yeah. And then the final one was... what's the specialiest game? And then he's corrected to specialist. I think specialiest is better, though.
I like
it
that.
It does suit us more of the wobbly player, the woobly player syndrome.
Yeah.
We've got to go for that fat sponsorship dollar. We'll go the weebly player syndrome.
Oh, careful.
Fantastic. All right, so you fools. Episode 9, brought to you by Wibbly Player Syndrome. What is the specialist stuff ever? I'm sure we're adults.
we're
talking about specialist games that Warhammer's brought out. They brought out a lot in the last 12 months. So we're going to talk about what's come out. What's been good? What's everyone tried? Do you think they're coming out too quickly? Because there have been a lot. Are there any aspects of the games you think they should adapt into 40K? And so on. Now,
Michael, I know you've played different games, just like you're big on your Necromunda. I still haven't played it since its re-release, which is quite sad. We'll start with Necromunda, because your face is on the right.
Well, the new Necromunda is really good. I actually like it a lot, especially with the Zone Mortalis maps with the corridors and how it comes with all the terrain and stuff for that. As for how they've released it, it's been very spread out. It's like really staggered releases. So I'm not super sold on the way they've done that.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have gotten some of that bunched up.
Considering the way that they dumped Kill Team on us, they dumped everything for Kill Team, but you've seen it. You said, all right, they've staggered Necromunda, and it's just been, here's a bit, wait, like, here's another little bit more. Oh, hang on, here's another little bit more. And for someone who was looking at getting into it, the sheer limitation of what was there put me off it, and I moved on to Kill Team.
Yeah, well, it's like, I know a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, I've always played Deluxe since the original version back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it till they come out.
Yeah.
You know? And they came out like this month. Well, they had not out yet. We saw pictures of them. They're not even out yet.
Well,
you know, so it might be better for them financially to stagger it the way they have and kind of draw it out, but it's not good for the player base, I suspect.
Well, but then again, lies the problem, the fact they've got, they're dumping so much stuff at the moment, they've got that ability to go, well, we can take that loss, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I really feel like, I've lost track, basically, because you've got the Kill Team, and then you had the Rogue Trader add-on, and then you've got Speed Freaks, you've got Necromunda, you've got Kill Team, you've got, as I said, it's piling up. And I mean, I was already at the point where I wasn't really buying anything 40k because I'm sort of at my queue limit, and I see all this stuff that I go, oh yeah, that's really cool, but I don't have time for it, and it just sort of whizzes by, and the next thing you know, it's out of
production. So I want to go back to, we'll try and go one game at a time because I know we're going to jump around a bit otherwise. The Necromunda one, I agree. Bringing out each force. Delayed. I played Muties. That's when I played Necromunda to play the Muties. The Scavies, sorry. They're non-existent.
Scavies. Yeah, they don't have rules. I've heard that they're not even necessarily planning to do them this time.
So, I think dragging it out like that, it was popular, and I do like the scenery that they've got and the concept of the game. I thought having a flat board was a bit strange, considering how much fun, this again goes by memory, fun I had with the original one.
Well, yeah, it was always about the 3D terrain.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've been a huge fan of the 3D terrain, and I love playing with it, but it changes the dynamics so much to play it in, like, the tight corridors.
Mm.
And all that, it's almost like it's a different game. But you still can, if you've got Gang War 1, where they added the rules for it, you can still play it with a 3D terrain.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So the gameplay itself, you're still playing, you're still loving it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been having trouble getting to our weekly event to play it the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I'm still really digging it. I like the changes they made to the rules. It's a lot more balanced than the previous versions, especially with the gang advancement. It's so much better than the old one. There's a couple of weird glitches, like you have with every Necromunda. Flame weapons are ludicrous. But generally speaking, it's an improvement over every previous edition.
Yeah.
Okay. Should probably play it, I guess.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't think any of these games that have been coming out in this flurry of stuff are bad games. I just feel like the pace just seems too fast to actually
dump it. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, Kill Team especially has really felt like a dump. Like, well, I bought a whole bunch of it. And I just haven't kept up with buying anything new because there's so much stuff.
Well, it's funny enough with the Kill Team. Like, if you go back to Necromunda, they've spread out the release of each force. Look at Blood Bowl. They did exactly the same. They'd bring out a new Blood Bowl team every 2 months. Still haven't released all of them, so you still just really drag those out before they can do it.
See, the thing is that when you're dropping a game like Necromunda or something like that, it makes sense to do the big drop because then you can go, hey, buy a new game. There's six different forces. Go nuts. Yep. When you're doing something like Kill Team where you're relying on a lot of people who might have a box of minis lying around that they've had for years or whatever, you can afford to space that out. So it's kind of like they've done it backwards. They should have spaced out Kill Team and dumped on some of these other ones.
But I can see why they dumped all the Kill Team out because it is an easy way to get someone in onto a force. And using myself as an example, it's like, I was always happy with my Krons, happy to play with just the Krons. And then the Kill Team came out. I got a damn good price on the second-hand kit of the AdMech. And I'm now thinking, oh, shit, I like these guys. I can build with it. So that if that was their aim, it's worked with me.
I think with the starter packs they released for the Kill Team was brilliant the way they did it because exactly what you just said. If I want to start something and start a new force that wasn't the Gene Seals or AdMech, they're from the box set, I could start off. Here's my five people with terrain, which I thought was a great addition. At first, I thought, really? I don't spend 80, 90 bucks, 100 bucks to get that. But now I've got a playing table in the hobby cave. I need terrain. So that actually works out well. I get new Kill Team and terrain. So I think they've done that brilliantly.
Yeah.
I think releasing Rogue Trader it was so cool quick.
It was cool that they added all of the, the gang basically things for it. I just felt like they started releasing the terrain expansion packs too soon because it meant that there was this huge variety of things to buy, not just the gangs you needed to play, but all of these extra expansion packs for it came out straight away.
I don't know.
In a way they haven't done with the other games.
But I thought they came with the game mats that came with them helped because it's such a different size scale that you normally play the 40K and stuff like that. And you don't have a board like Blood Bowl or the Necromunda side of things. What is it, 22 by 30 inch?
Yeah.
It fits better in a box. I thought they did well that. And
it's like I wanted to buy them, but I wanted to buy them all. And they all came out at the same time, and I couldn't afford to buy them all.
Yeah.
I was very interested in getting terrain just for the sake of the terrain, but that would mean I'd have to buy all the damn kits. So I don't have that much disposable income.
No, but look at all the Kill Teams you'd have.
No, I'll be right.
I thought they did. The only things I questioned was the release of Rogue Trader so quick. Because it's
so
hard
to space that out.
Yeah, it's so hard to get the Kill Team box, starter box. I don't think it's actually available anymore. You have to get the Rogue Trader box or something. I can't remember. Correct me if I'm wrong, people. No one's said anything, so can't be wrong. Excellent.
Not only did they do the Rogue Trader, though, they also then dumped Commanders on top of it as well. And,
I thought Commanders was a bit...
For me, I don't think Commanders was needed.
I agree with that one. I don't think Commanders is really needed. I picked it up. I picked it up as soon as it came out, and I've read it, and I'm just going, I'm enjoying the squads now. I don't think I need to jump to Commanders yet.
Yep.
We've still only playing our first campaign for Kill Team. It's not that we need to do. Oh, you can still get the Kill Team box, by the way.
Yeah.
Same prices.
Yeah, it just feels like they're not quite getting their pacing right.
Well, October.
Just about to say that.
October.
That's a bit of a hot button there.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. I thoroughly enjoy the game Kill Team. I think the game itself is fantastic.
Reinvigorated my interest in the game.
Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, I love the random and the morale and the flesh wounds and the way everything works. It's just brilliant.
And then they're adding the part that you play the campaign, so they can level up or get killed, which is also depressing. I like that RPG part of it. I like the continuation. You get more attached to your soldier, and you look at him differently. And anyway, moving on. It's not just throw bodies at the guns. It's, oh crap, I'm dying. At the end of turn 3, I will evacuate. Thank you.
I really needed Red Guy that time, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they've won there on the kill team, and the popularity of it, you can see it's huge. The fact that it's already been added to tournament levels so quickly, and there's ITC rules for kill team. So not ITC rules, but ITC standings and stuff like that. So they've done really well on that one.
I agree.
What about Warhammer Nightfault, Underspire? What is it called?
Shadespire.
That was, no, I know nothing about it.
No.
I bought the basic game, and I bought like the thing of the bloody skeleton warrior guys, but I haven't played it. I haven't had time to play the damn thing. I think it's partly because a bunch of the guys I know who I would have played it with, they kind of looked at it and it felt a bit too X-Wing to them.
Oh, okay.
And we kind of like we were playing X-Wing, and then everyone in X-Wing got super serious, and we were like, this game's played mostly by douchebags. Let's go do something else. And it gave us that vibe, so we haven't actually played it much at all.
Okay.
But from what I've heard, it seems to be popular. There's a lot of people playing it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. I see it's quite popular, and I thought, oh, it might be an intro game for my boys to start playing and stuff like that. And then they got the new one. New one's just come out. Obviously, I know all the names. Undervault is what I was about to call it. So I'm intrigued. Does that mean that the ones that you bought beforehand for Shadespire are no longer available because now the Underworld, I think it's Underworld.
Going with Nightvault.
That. Nightvault. Nightvault's the new one. So is the old one still available?
Yeah, it was Warhammer Underworld's Shadespire, Warhammer Underworld's Nightvault.
Shadespire's now gone. Can't get that anymore. It's now Nightvault. So, what's different about it? Anyone know? No? Cool. We'll move on.
No idea.
Now, you bought Adeptus Titanicus?
Yes. But I like lost all my hobby space at the same time when I bought it. So, I haven't had a chance to play the damn thing. Well, my table's buried under crap in the lounge room.
What I've heard about that game, it is the best game no one plays.
Yeah, a lot of people seem really keen. There's a Facebook group that seems fairly active for people in the local area to play it. I think Dono's been talking about integrating it into the 30K campaign and stuff like that. So people are keen.
And it looks
really sick.
Is it set in 30K?
Awesome.
Yeah, it's set in 30K, not 40K, I think, from memory.
Or is it just Knights?
Sorry?
Is it just Knights and Titans?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, basically your core army.
Fuck me, and thanks the price on those things.
Yeah, thanks to that game, the Games Workshop tweezers are selling like hotcakes, apparently, because the minis, some of the parts of the minis are so tiny and fiddly. Yeah, I laughed at them too, tweezers, yep. Yep, Games Workshop had their own tweezers. As they pry my credit card out of my wallet.
I'm just looking at the prices of it, and it's like, yeah, they better be Titans and Knights.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a casual throw some $5 towards that game. Nah.
Yeah.
But everything I heard about it is impressive. It's a lot more tactical, a lot more strategy behind it. So if you're a bit more serious.
Jeez.
Yeah, so there you go. That's that one. And, of course, Speed Freak, we mentioned earlier, that has now been released. I guarantee you 99% of people who bought it did not buy it for Speed Freak. They bought it for the minis.
Yep.
Well, it's like I bought all of those board games that they were doing, the Horus Heresy ones with the Mark III Marines and the Mark IV Marines. Yeah. I don't know a single person who played that game, either of those games. They just bought them for the Marines.
Yeah, no, and they do. Yeah, I almost did the same. I remember that Battle of Cath and stuff. Those Marines just look fantastic.
Yeah, I think I had like 3 boxes of Battle of Cath just for the Marines.
Yeah, they looked awesome. But that's a good point. What about all the box sets that come out? I mean, Dark Millennium came out with the Smurfs. Well, not Smurfs, but in particular, but Marines.
We didn't even talk about Blood Bowl.
I did talk about Blood Bowl.
Blood Bowl's
I got overridden. I love Blood Bowl. I love Blood Bowl.
I love the old Blood Bowl.
I've got my old Blood Bowl. You can probably look behind me and see where it is.
I brought a couple of the new teams. I bought the new box. None of the guys who I used to play Blood Bowl with wanted to play it because their teams hadn't been released yet.
I've still got my Lizard team. You know? I've still got half my Dwarves. I lost my Death Roller, though. But yeah, I loved it. But nobody I know wants to play it because we used to play the PC version and I won too many times, apparently. Nobody wanted to play anymore.
I'm just looking to see whether I can find my Skaven army, which is here somewhere.
Yeah, we got excited when they re-released. I know Anthony and Paul, they got into it. They got their armies. They played a few games and stuff. And then it just went dead.
Yeah, but not disappearing.
Yep. Now look, we can quick examine his wine rack. What's in his wine rack? Anything good?
Yeah. Wine rack, three boxes of wines below the wine rack. But I know I've got a dwarf.
Oh, look at this. They're both leaning to the left, so they're off screen. That's fantastic.
I don't see any dust on those bottles, so they can't be that good.
The ones in the box my father-in-law makes, they're the good ones. I'd love to get a bowl. I'd love to give it a go one time. But then I think when we started getting the forces out, that's when I started getting heavier into my Krons and then started playing a little bit more, and I just lost total track on it.
I think Kill Team's going to take over a lot.
For
me, I can't think of playing any specialist game apart from Kill Team. It's at 30.
Kill Team's kind of the easiest one to get into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the game.
Like it's the gateway drug.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
That's probably the thing that I like the most about it. It sounds bad to say it like that, but it gives like a really cheap entry point to the game, and the game hasn't had that in a long time.
Oh yeah, tell me about my boy. Hey boy. My son.
Hey boy.
My son is Mike are playing. Boy. And they just cannot stop talking about it. So they've played about three or four games now. And it's easy because it's attention span, 30-minute games.
Yep.
You only need to have depending if you're out for your Primaris, 3 miniatures up to 12 miniatures if you're an orc. And away you go. And
daughter's got
a small desk will take it.
Secondhand. And I can actually have a game with her now.
Yeah. And I think that's where the Space Marine Heroes can come into play. Because if you want a kill team with a bit of variety, a bit more different to the Standard Marines, grab those. $9 each. You only need, five, maybe six. It's $50. You've got Marines that look different to every other Marine. And away you go.
I'll think about it.
They're blue, so you have to paint them because you cannot have all Marines.
Another specialist game.
And we've got her blue Smurf.
So you'll disown him if he becomes a Smurf player.
He did say, "Oh, I'll just paint it blue." So no, you won't.
So you want to play Thousand Suns then, do you?
Yeah, that's it. Are you going to say another specialist game?
Yeah, I was going to say another specialist game that I felt made a good gateway for Warhammer was the previous Warhammer quest, Silver Tower, and the kind of second version, Shadows of Hammerhall. Like, my son wanted to get into that when he was 5, and I taught him how to play the new Silver Tower Warhammer quest, and he could do it. He loved it. Keeps badgering me to play it.
Nice.
Because of the way the rules work. It was really cheap to get into. Like, if one kid had the box set, any of his friends could just buy a special character for Warhammer, and there were rules for that character. You know, they could get the app, pay a dollar, get the rules for that character they just bought, and then they could play with their friend. And that might lead to an army down the line. Like, it was a good getting people in with just one easy purchase kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's it. How do you introduce people? As a parent, you don't want your kid to, because when you see the price, $55 for a box, $100 for that. Yeah, join too. But at the same time, they see us spend as much or as little time on these things, they're going to be interested.
Yeah.
I'd like my son to get into it. It like teaches you a lot of math and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it's a good hobby.
Yeah, logic thinking.
I actually do the school program. So at my school that I teach at, I do that Warhammer School Alliance.
Yeah.
And basically, I had to sell it to my deputy and my principal, who neither one wanted to have any part of it because they just saw the war aspect of the game. But actually explaining it, there's more to it. There is the math, there's the strategy, there's the art that goes along with it.
The hobby.
And that's the part that I sell to my daughter.
The rage.
Yeah, you know, it teaches table patience, flipping. It teaches probability.
Yeah.
How to load your dice, 101. Yeah.
Microwave. Microwave, that's all I'll say.
How to get along with an opponent and compete without being a jerk to each other, theoretically. Yeah.
And the other class is how to play against each other and be a jerk to each other.
Your other teammates are dickheads. Deal with it.
Yeah. You can't help if they play Smurfs.
Copping it here, Kato.
Well, we haven't seen Tower for ages, so you're copping it, yeah.
And there's also Dave Horsey Boys.
We've got to encourage Dave to come back, so he can't pick on his towel any longer. Until he's back, then it's fresh.
I'm just resigned to the jeers from the inferior chapters. I mean,
First Legion, Best Legion.
So, just a quick off topic. What about the rumor of a new chapter coming out? What do we feel about the rumor of the new chapter coming out that is Primaris specific chapter?
There's already been a bunch of them in the fluff. Like, it's not new, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this coming, and there's an episode about my grumblings about this whole thing, but
I don't necessarily think it indicates they're getting rid of normal Marines entirely. It's a thing that they've said exists in the fluff since the new fluff came out. You know,
yeah. Well, I'll get back on topic.
Then. I mean, they still need to add a whole lot more things. Yeah, we're way off topic.
Yeah,
on
I can
that.
See the rage coming in. Rage coming in. I'm gripping my desk. Ah! Fucking Gilliman. What does he know about music? All right. So, specialist games. We've all played a few of different varieties. What do we bring in to 40K from these specialist games? Obviously, we bring in Block from Blood Bowl.
I'd love some of the randomness back in. So, some of those things like the half range.
Modifiers.
Like the long range penalties and stuff like that that you see in Kill Team. Even some of that morale type stuff where you have people freezing or running away, etc., rather than just pulling miniatures off the board, you know what I mean? Just sort of, I guess, bringing the character back into the game because we lost a lot of that when we came away from 7th.
Removing the templates and random agree with that.
I mean, it's kind of a you gain and you lose. Like, the game's a lot faster, it's a lot cleaner now, but it lost a lot of that kind of the grittiness that made it a bit more interesting, chewy.
The chaos part of it, no pun intended. you shoot there with a template weapon and go, I missed, but I landed on the other squad that's still dead. That worked out nicely. Yeah. Or the opposite way is I missed with my template, but it's landed on my troops and killed all my troops.
Whereas when you roll a D6, it's between 1 and 6 guys die. Like,
but that's going back to 7th. That's not coming, but that template stuff's not in the new games. I think Kill Team, I think, is where we're going to draw most of the stuff where it could be added to 40K. Not so much Night Haunt or Adeptus Mechanicus. I love, and Age of Sigmar is doing it since Day of Dot, is that initiative turn to see who goes next.
Yes, I agree.
I really enjoyed that too.
I think that is fantastic, and that should be leaving permission. That just changes the game completely for 40K scale, which would be fantastic.
And it can really give you quite a nice flow because you can sort of stack moves and things a little bit.
Hoping you'll get the next one. Yeah. It's, easy. We're all agreed on that one. That was too easy. the other one I like about in Kill Team I'd like to see come across is the movement phase includes the charge move. Not move, shoot, charge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of miss that.
Yeah. I think that's much better. And the other part to that is, if you fail the charge, you still have to move.
And that's what I like.
Yeah. Like
you're stupid enough and brave enough to get up and go for a run. Oops, I've overcalculated how far this is. I'm fucked, and there is now a penalty.
Yeah, that's what got me, actually, with a lot of, actually, even seventh to a degree, how you failed and you didn't move. Because I guess this is, you know, me hearkening back to like second or whatever, where you had to move that distance and you just were standing out in the open if you stuffed your charge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And makes sense.
Yeah, and a lot of specialist games have that. Like Necromunda, you have to declare the direction you're moving before you move, and if you're charging and you fail, you still have to charge in that direction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, kill team is up
shot
to
in the face.
Yeah, it still says up to. You'd have to do you need a 9-inch charge, you roll 7. You don't have to move 7, you have to move up to 7, but directly towards the opponent. So I like that. You take a couple of steps and go, that was a bad idea.
Actually, here's one I wouldn't mind seeing them bring back. Dangerous terrain.
Yeah, to an extent, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to see land raiders getting caught on barbed wire or something stupid like that. But it was kind of cool watching jetpack guys, splat on walls and things because they've, jetpacked into ruins or something.
Yeah, I think that.
I miss line of sight cover. That's what I miss.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, kill team is something a little bit of skewered, minus one to hit.
Yeah.
Well, I actually wouldn't mind if they kept the whole it modifies the armor save thing like they have in new 40K and just be like, you're in cover in line of sight, they get plus one armor save.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a cool idea because it represents the fact that if you shoot them with the las cannon, it doesn't fucking matter if they're in cover.
No, it goes through the cover.
Yeah.
But I do like.
Yeah.
Well, but that's what kill team does.
Now, kill team is it's harder to hit them if they're in cover. It's not harder. It's not easier to save if you're in cover.
Yeah, but the thing is that again, if you've got a las cannon, if you can hit them, then you will kill them regardless of the cover.
Well, yeah, but I kind of liked the idea that the fact that they're behind cover doesn't matter if you've got a las cannon. It's not going to affect whether you hit them or not because the cover doesn't make it harder to hit because you shoot through the cover.
Yeah,
like that. I think I thought that was an interesting mechanic, and I was disappointed that it wasn't implemented better.
The cover system in 8th edition. Again, as you said earlier, it is to make it smoother.
I'm on record as hating the cover system.
make it quicker, less complication, get rid of the grey area. But you're right, the cover system could do some work.
Yes.
But Necromunda. Kill team keeps it simple. If you're obscured, it's minus one to hit. Simple.
Yep.
Just do that. Don't worry about if it's an additional to save. Because, again, you've got a las cannon and you're shooting them, but because you're a las cannon, you only see an arm, it will be harder to hit them. Because you don't know their torso is right behind that street pole. Yeah. So I kind of like that. I kind of like it. Make it harder to hit. The long distance one, if you're shooting at me, I think, yes, you should be at a minus one. Only if you're shooting at me. If I'm shooting you, no.
Yeah, I definitely like it being harder to hit people. It seems to add a bit more randomness in the game, and it makes it that much more satisfying when you broadside somebody.
Well, it's funny enough. I mean, kill team, we've got all these modifiers, over half range, obscured, all this. It's a bloody game, though. It is a high casualty game.
Yeah. So
it's not like it keeps everyone alive. So.
Well, and that's just it. But it makes it so much more interesting to play.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes you have to go forward. Melter guns are really useful in kill team. Oh, yeah. So are flamers.
Yeah.
Flamers not so great flamers, in 40K. Flamers. Melter, if you can drop next to something, it's worth it. Yeah.
Well, that kind of you know, every shot matters, people can get wasted really easily. It's always been something I liked about Necromunda, because they're basic humans, most of the time with no armor, shooting each other with the equivalent of modern day pistols.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, like, I just had that low, that kind of low tech 40k vibe that I liked. Then again, back in Second Ed, I had units of Chaos Thugs with longbows on the 40k table. You know,
that's pretty cool.
I remember orcs running around with bloody ball and chain on a mono wheel. Come on.
The best thing about the longbow was, from memory, if you shot someone with like flak armor, it improved their armor save, because the weapon was that shit.
Just add it to the armor. Fantastic. Just add to the suit there.
Thanks. Yeah, they got like a plus one to their save because you shot them with an arrow.
So maybe next 40k game, we try out some of these suits. Now, I know Anthony wants to bring back the alternate turns. So you all move, then one shoot.
Yeah.
You imagine doing that for a 2,000 point army?
Yeah, I just imagine it taking a while.
Yeah. So that 3-hour game now becomes, I'll see you tomorrow morning to continue.
Yeah.
And you hope that they don't move the minis around or terrain or anything.
Well, I mean, the way bolt action handles that kind of alternate activation is, when you activate a unit, you get an order die and you put it next to the unit to mark that they've done something.
Yeah. But just an orc army. If you got six squads of 40 orcs, 60 orcs, 30, 40 orcs. I like it in Kill Team. I don't think it's practical in 40K.
But it would drive me absolutely nuts with all my Necron warriors, because I've got 40 to 60 of them bastards going at a time.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Well,
with Floorhammer, we did 3,000 point cohort activations, and it was like, you know, this cohort activates, then this cohort activates, and it was kind of drawing from a bag, and that took forever.
You want to make the games quicker, and I think it's one thing I do like about 8th edition and hate about it. It does take out that grey, makes the game smoother and runs better. But again, you do lose that chaotic randomness to it as well. But at the same time, a lot easier to get new people in.
Yeah,
but
it's good. It's smooth.
I really do miss the vortex coming back on top of the person who threw it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Or the random exploding weapons, because
we had the house rule. If you had two plasma cannons next to each other and they blow up, your whole squad's down and it's a crater. That was it.
Yeah, and then you had like the three jams for the assault cannons, and they would explode and all of that stuff. The thing was that some of those things were so rare that when they happened, you were almost like, even though it was a catastrophic event for you, it sort of was cool because it finally happened.
It's good.
And Perils Big of the Warp boom. Was another one.
Well, that's still there. Really good.
Perils used to be more interesting than it is now. It's like, isn't it like just damage now, basically?
That's still mortal wounds. And if you do it badly enough, you can hurt people. If you die, you hurt people around you. So it can be quite devastating. Yeah. So mortal, it's not bad. It's double one and double six. Mortal wounds, if you die, you blow up and take out people next to you. It's devastating.
But where's me ludicrous special dice? Like, you know, my crack missile, that does D10 damage, you know. Multi-melter, that's a D12, you know.
Random dice, that's the deep strike. When you random landed, and you landed up in a building, so only one person survived.
The one time I took my Deathwing to a tournament, I lost so many Terminators to deep strike mishaps.
Yeah.
Landed on top of fucking Devilfish and shit.
Yeah. See? That sort of stuff. But, yeah. What do you do? Alright, look, I think 8th edition is probably the best edition I've played because of how smooth it is to run. There are, nostalgia parts of it, of Flamer templates, I do miss Flamer templates. Lehman Russ templates, I do miss Lehman Russ templates. And things like that. I think if they add the alternating turns, which Age of Sigmar already has, Kill Team has, I think it just changed the whole meta of the game, wouldn't it?
It does. And I agree.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, especially if you've got tactical objectives in play. The person who goes last, if it's a close match, always have that advantage if they're going last. Because, all right, to win the game, I know there's no other turn after this. I just need to do this.
Yep.
But, I mean, it just changes the meta of how you need to handle the tactics with turns. Like, currently, you know, like, you know, if you know who's going when, then you have to plan for that in advance.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was alternating, you would have to plan differently. It would just, you'd just be changing the way you were planning. You'd still have to plan it.
Yeah.
Well, it can work a bit from a fluff perspective as well, because you'll have some of these high mobility sort of forces and stuff like that. And if you luck out and you roll the initiative, then you can sort of flow and sweep through and things like that. That otherwise you're sort of stilted and you're sort of like, yeah, I've moved here, but then the other guy's got to go and just mows me down, you know. So it just opens up a lot more possibilities, really.
Oh yeah.
And you even get that point where there's sometimes where you're sitting there and you go, oh, come on, my guys would totally be shooting at these guys right now rather than just taking it.
Yeah.
And with the right initiative role, you can do that. So, yeah.
That'd be interesting. All right. So we are over time. Got passionate about this one. It's exciting. Oh, look, I think we've done well.
It's hard not to be passionate about a game as great as Warhammer Quest.
And those models look amazing, I must admit.
Oh, the quality of the models is just getting better. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
If you do have a look at these Space Marine ones, assuming they're the same ones as the Japanese release, the models?
Yeah, it's the same series.
Yeah, so they look sweet. They do look very good. Good action pose on them. Excuse me. All right, so we should wrap up. Again, we have our Battle of Tasuga meet this weekend. I'm actually in Sydney, as I said, doing the International Board Game event, so I don't know what you guys are up to. I know you and me, Mark, that one I'm pointing at, so obviously you can tell who that is. hang on, I'll get my pointing. No, pointing the other way. This way. There you go, camera. Get it right. we'll play some Kill Team tomorrow.
Yep.
So Astra Militarum versus your Ad Mech. So it'd be fun.
And I'll bring the Krons over just in case.
Yep. No worries. I'll use my shelf.
Yeah.
Again, check us out on our Facebook page, which is /RLG40K. Welcome to make any comments. Please, we'd love to hear some feedback on our podcast. This is episode 9.
We know we're ugly.
Yeah,
we know we're ugly.
Regardless of the images, we'd like comments on the content. we'd love to hear some feedback. We'll be doing some self-examination. No, next podcast will be a review of Warhammer Games Workshop itself, how they got in the last year. Won't examine ourselves because I don't have any rubber gloves. Follow our Instagram /RLG40K, or you could follow me specifically because I'm better than the others, obviously, at RedBellyBlack. what else we got to? Of course, the Twitch channel /RedBelly. We'll be looking at getting a 40K, RLG4K. 40K channel soon, because we're getting a lot more content. We'll be streaming hopefully some games soon. Now I've got the Hobby Cave set up, painting, of course, our podcast, and hopefully Black Fortress Canary. What is it?
Oh, Blackstone Fortress.
Blackstone Fortress.
Black Fortress Canary. Sounds like a dodgy DC title.
He'd entertain us all.
By all the Warhammer's quests.
That was more, I can see Michael just started staring off into the distance. So bring him back in.
He's beautiful. He's beautiful.
Kato, thank you for coming on.
No worries.
Next
catch
time,
us around.
That photo maybe updated a bit. Yeah, I think your hairline's receded a bit more than that. Mr. Other Mark. It's got to give away your full name. I thought, couldn't I do that?
Don't give my work name out. That would be just embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly.
Always good.
So, see you tomorrow night.
I get called that 6 hours a day. 6 hours a day.
Good night, Michael.
Yeah,
good.
Good
night from me. And Michael's going to sign us off with his great radio sign-off. Throw him on the spot.
Join us next month, for more woobly and weebly adventures. Weebly player syndrome.
Weebly player syndrome.
Possibly go wrong.
Thank you very much, folks. Thanks for joining us on Twitch too. See you next time.